up the champagne. Pop. It's my house. Come on. Turn it up.
Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home. Tell me where.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Now here are your hosts, Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm.
Hello there, Nathan Zagura along with Jason Gibbs. Matt Wilhelm not with us today, but he'll be back tomorrow. But we're going to bring a big show to you anyway here on Cleveland Browns Daily. The Ohio Business Machine hot topics are as follows. And this is a good one from our friend north of the border, Cam from Canada. When Browns fans say they want the Browns to win, what does that mean? A, a winning record. B, make the playoffs. C, win one playoff game. D, win the Super Bowl. What does it mean to you to have the Browns win? Hey, right now, I'll take a winning record. I'm starting at step one. We got to get a winning record before we can worry about making the playoffs, winning a playoff game, or winning the Super Bowl. So that is something there that I'm going to start right there. I'm going to throw that out there. We will hear from Ron Jaworski, Adam Schefter, and Mel Kiper with some good sound on the draft. It is Mailbag Wednesday, so tweet your questions to @Browns_daily using the hashtag AskCBD. By the way, the Browns are saying that the schedule has been finalized. The NFL's announcement is coming soon. That's the Browns tweeting it out right now, saying again that their schedule has been finalized. The announcement's coming soon. NFL PR guy Brian McCarthy saying the regular season schedule is done. Stay tuned for the announcement on when it'll be announced. It's kind of like having a meeting to have a meeting. We're going to have an announcement about an announcement. At 2 o'clock, though, this is where the show really is going to pick up. Chris Kleiman, the head coach at North Dakota State. He was Carson Wentz's head coach in college. He joins us live at 2. And at 2:30, Brown's second-year running back, Duke Johnson, is with us. But Gibbs, I think there's one big story out there today that we're going to have to lead off with. And you know that I am excited about that particular story, I am sure. Do you know what I'm referring to?
You started talking, and I go, oh, crap, what did I miss? I'm going through everything. I have no idea.
You have no idea. All right. Well, we'll start off with, we'll go to CBSSports.com.
Oh, boy.
We'll hear from Jason Lockenfora. By the way, the man who wrote this article, Jason Lockenfora, will join us tomorrow at 2 o'clock. So that is something that we will look forward to. We'll get even more of a backstory. But here's the headline from Jason Lockenfora. And it is, and I quote, why it will be Jared Goff, not Carson Wentz, going to the Browns at number 2. Says in the opening paragraph, I believe Jared Goff will be drafted before Carson Wentz, barring a trade of the first overall pick. And if new Cleveland Browns associate head coach offense Pep Hamilton gets his way, it will be Goff and not Wentz whom that team picks the second overall. Goff has many champions within the Browns organization, and though a preponderance of mock drafts will show Wentz being selected with the second overall pick, I've continued to hear that Goff is actually very well positioned to be Cleveland's guy. And then he goes on to a lot about this, but basically saying analytics, Pep Hamilton, everybody all on board with, and Hugh Jackson all on board with Jared Goff.
He might be the first national guy, prominent national guy, to talk about Jared Goff to the Browns, because I feel like everybody at ESPN still has Carson Wentz. I mean, you go back to Todd McShay's mock yesterday. Carson Wentz. And we'll hear later on in the hour why certain ESPN people still think Carson Wentz is going to the Browns.
Jason Lockenfora is not of that opinion.
And I'm all right with that.
I'm all right. You know I'm all right with it.
Yes, I do.
So I think that it's an interesting story, and we'll hear from Jason tomorrow to find out, maybe flesh this out a little bit more. But that was the big nugget in his story as well. He also went through and said some overrated, underrated prospects. He said Jerron Reed is going to go before A'shaun Robinson, who went in my mock draft. And we'll postpone that until tomorrow when Wilhelm gets back. He also said Kevin Dodd from Clemson is going to go higher than maybe his high-profile teammate Shaq Lawson. Teams are very high in Louisiana Tech defensive lineman Vernon Butler, and at least one evaluator with me believes Michigan State tackle Jack Conklin, who I had going early in my mock draft, is among the safest picks in the draft and is the second best lineman in the draft ahead of Ronnie Stanley. Also, picking up steam. Remember what I talked about? Who did I say was going to be the first wide receiver taken?
I believe you had Dotson off the board.
Yes, I did early, and that's also what he is hearing. And then his bold prediction is that if the Eagles stay at 8, Ezekiel Elliott is the pick, and they are looking to move up ahead of Dallas to get Ezekiel Elliott if they feel they have to do so.
Could this be the year that we see 6, 7, 8 teams trading up and down in that first day?
No.
Or is this all a smokescreen and come draft day?
Don't we hear this every year?
I feel like we do. But is this the year that it really comes to fruition?
That it happens?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I suppose anything's possible with the draft. They always do make a mockery of mock drafts. But I was excited to read that article today. I thought that that was a pretty good one to hear and go with that they like Goff. Now, it's funny. He does say that some of the scouts are more on the Wentz side of it, but it'll be interesting to see what ultimately ends up being the decision, etc. And it's funny. Some people have taken out that. Benjamin Albright says, LOL, Browns front office going to ignore their own scouting department and go Goff over Wentz. Sorry, Browns fans. That's not at all what the article says, by the way. But it does say that there is a division, as there should be when you have two prospects at this level. There are going to be Goff people. There are going to be Wentz people. And ultimately, what's going to matter, I think, most in this process is what the top scouts say, what the top talent evaluator, what does Andrew Berry think, what does Hugh Jackson think, and what do the analytics and those studies on the quarterbacks, what does that say? If there is a situation where you get check, 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 and it all marries up, I think that is going to be a very easy thing for the Browns to make their decision.
Who's the tiebreaker?
I think it's ultimately, as we've heard all along, it's ultimately Sashi Brown's decision. I think that whatever they do, there is going to be I think there's going to be unity. I don't think it's going to be at all, any way, shape, or form, that there isn't going to be unity about it. I think there's going to be unity.
I just, the more you read and the more you see, they're going to stay at number 2. I would be shocked if they moved out of 2. It would take someone offering what Buffalo did a couple of years ago with us, saying we'll give you next year's first round. I think that's the only way that they move. I
think it's quarterback or trade back. I don't think that there is any in between. And quite frankly, I don't think there really should be much debate over it. I think that if they have a guy, that's it. I think if there's a quarterback that they think, and if they think both of them are franchise quarterbacks, whether they prefer one over the other, if they're both there, you take the one you prefer the most. And if there isn't, then you certainly go ahead and take that guy.
I can see that, but all right, it's quarterback or trade down. Now you got to find someone to move up. What if you can't find someone to move up? Like, who's that number 2 guy for you? That's going to be the big question. What if someone on draft night trades up with Tennessee and takes Jared Goff? You know, and
so then the question becomes,
did
you believe Carson Wentz was a franchise quarterback? If the answer to that question is yes, you still take him. If it's not, then you trade back and get more assets.
But you got to find someone to dance with, and that's where I get a little concerned.
What do you mean?
You got to find someone that's willing to move up.
Well, I think that you will. I think that if somebody were to trade up and take Goff number 1 overall, I think if all of a sudden those teams are thinking, man, I got to go get Wentz before or I'm not going to get to. I think it's possible that one of the quarterbacks has a free fall. I don't think it's going to be Goff. I think it's possible that Wentz actually slides down
as
he did in my draft.
Yesterday in the mock draft.
Yeah, to St. Louis. I think that's possible.
I could totally see that. And the question is, where's Paxton Lynch fit in on this? You know, I mean, is he still the third best quarterback in this draft? You know, do we start?
I think there are going to be people that prefer. I think there are going to be people that prefer Connor Cook. I think there are going to be people that prefer Paxton Lynch, and I think those two guys, one of them will be, the third quarterback, and the other will be the fourth.
How many good quarterbacks are there in this draft? Like good quarterbacks that you would feel, okay, I'm happy the Browns picked that guy, or if the Browns want to get that guy, I'm okay with it because I think he's one of the good ones in this draft.
I think there are 2. I think there's a clear number one, and then there's
No one else.
An acceptable number two. I mean, you could talk me into maybe thinking Connor Cook could be okay, but I really don't see it. That's just in my eyes. I don't see it. I think there are some guys that are projects. I mean, Cardale Jones is a project, but I'm looking for an immediate impact player, a quarterback, a franchise quarterback. I am of the belief that if you weren't taking a Goff or a Wentz because you don't think they're a franchise quarterback, that means you don't think that there's one in this draft. So that means that you're going with RG3 and you're taking a guy that maybe could – I think that would put you in a situation where you're more likely to take a guy like Cardell, immense physical gifts, that is a 50-50 crapshoot, and then you're just reloading the gun for next year.
Could see that. I could totally understand that.
I mean, I see Lynch kind of in that same vein. I just think he has a higher price tag than Cardell.
Yeah.
I want Goff, and if they believe that Wentz is a franchise quarterback, then I want Wentz, and that's it. I don't think there really is anybody. You know, Lance Zierlein had the article yesterday saying that they are comfortable with the quarterback in the second round. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe they are. Maybe they like, you know, Hugh Jackson's had success with Andy Dalton. Maybe he likes another second round quarterback. I don't know if I see that being the case. And if you're asking me, there's one quarterback to take. And hopefully he's on the board at number two. And if he's not, then I'm, you know, deferring to their brain trust as to what they feel about Carson Wentz. Or I'm acquiring more assets. If we could get somebody that wants to come up and give us, you know, a one, a future one, and a two, I'm in. You know, that's three players for one.
All right, so here's my follow-up to that. So Jared Goff's your number one guy. It's Jared Goff, and then everybody else is in that second tier. So you move down. When are you taking your quarterback? Or are you just taking another one mid-round, you know, day two or a day three even, and going, okay, it's a project, and if it works out, great, but if not, we'll play out the year and, you know, we'll see where we're at next year.
I don't think that there is a position player transcendent enough to make me stay there. So if I move down, and I'll get to the quarterback part of your question, I'm looking at getting three guys in the top 50 for one. So that would be my mindset there. As far as the quarterback position goes, it depends on the evaluation. I'd probably take a flyer on a guy in the middle rounds, you know, whether you think that it's Cardale or if Paxton Lynch slipped to 32, then certainly that could be intriguing if you like him enough. But for the most part, what I'm saying is the way that I would look at it is, all right, I've drafted RG3 this year, and he's the guy that I'm going to try to develop and see what we can do. So if I did that trade down, I'm going to probably get the best receiver on the board to give him a weapon. Because I think right now, the biggest thing is, A, getting a franchise quarterback, and B, getting these quarterbacks some weapons to work with.
Amen to that.
Because I've been saying it for 3 years. I guess at some point, a receiver will be drafted, and I think it's important to the staff. But we've got to get some weapons. You can't expect a quarterback to go out there, a young quarterback to go out there and have success without weapons. And let's look at the guys who have had success recently. Okay, let's look at the top five quarterbacks, young quarterbacks of the last two drafts. Okay, we'll start with 2014. Derek Carr, he's thrown to Amari Cooper. They got him in his second season, Amari Cooper. And then they brought in Michael Crabtree. So he's got two first-rounders at wide receiver and two guys who played at a very high level.
Sure.
They also drafted Clive Walford, who they have big expectations for at tight end, and they have Latavius Murray there. Jacksonville, Blake Bortles. In that same draft, they drafted Marquise Lee in the second round. They drafted Allen Robinson in the second round. And they signed as an undrafted free agent, which may turn out to be, other than the value on Robinson, a great value, Allen Hurns. Then they go out and they get him Julius Thomas. And they draft TJ Yeldon. Weapons galore in Jacksonville.
But, okay, so...
Minnesota. You signed Mike Wallace. Didn't work out, but you were trying. You signed Mike Wallace. You extended Kyle Rudolph. You've got Adrian Peterson, around whom you've built your team. You draft Stephon Diggs in the mid rounds, and you bring in. So you got that. So those he's got his weapons, different style of weapons. They're not asking Teddy to throw it 50 times a game. They're leaning on Adrian Peterson, and why not? He's one of the greatest running backs of all time. Then you look at last year, Tennessee, Kendall Wright, Delanie Walker, and then they go out last year. They had Justin Hunter, but he hasn't really quite panned out. They go out and they draft Doriel Green Beckham for Marcus Mariota. Tennessee, Vincent Jackson, Mike Evans. Austin Seferin Jenkins, Doug Martin, Chris Sims, Charles Sims. Weapons. Those teams all have clearly defined weapons. And by the way, in Tennessee, now they've gone out and they traded for DeMarco Murray this offseason. The Browns don't have that for their young quarterback. That, to me, and this draft can't give it to them. That's the problem. If you go back and you want to say, where did it go wrong? Not only did you pick the wrong quarterback in Johnny Manziel, you could have picked any of the other three, maybe even any of the other four if I'm going to lump in Garoppolo, who I liked. And you didn't give him or whomever it was that you were going to task with playing quarterback weapons. That was the draft to do it.
100%, man. And even, I mean, and you didn't get anything in free agency.
I don't, free agency, see, and we could have gotten Michael Crabtree and said we chose Dwayne Bowe.
Yeah.
It's rare that you hit in free agency at the wide receiver position. Typically, receivers go somewhere else and are not as good. Randall Moss is an exception to that. Terrell Owens is an exception to that. But typically, that is not the path to success at wide receiver. You saw it with Chad Johnson. You saw it with TJ Houshmandzadeh. Like, these guys leave, they get big money deals, and they are not the same players. Golden Tate, solid in Detroit, but never lived up to the hype. But again, they're only paying him $6 million a year. You got to get weapons for your quarterback. I would say, I think weapons are almost as important, maybe are more important even, I'm going to say it, because we've had a good offensive line, or did we, than an offensive line. Because when you have weapons and you have to double team, you're not leaving guys on islands as much. It changes the way that you're doing things. 2014 was the perfect opportunity to get weapons. Jacksonville traded back into the end of the second round to get Allen Robinson. He was there, waiting. The draft was historic. You're going to take Johnny Manziel, get him a Mike Evans that he can just throw the ball up to. That just isn't what they did. That's not how it played out.
I know.
But this is an opportunity. The problem is you want wide receivers, and I think the Browns can come out of it with a couple of good wide receivers this year, but you're not going to get that guy. I like Leonte Carew a lot, third-round guy probably, given his off-field stuff. He's not that guy. Josh Doctson, I think, is the best chance to be that kind of a guy, but he's not going to be around unless you do trade down. But I still believe if you can get your quarterback, you get your quarterback. 216-578-0850. What do you guys think? Big show again. Carson Wentz, college coach, coming up at 2 o'clock. Duke Johnson, 2:30. Zagura and Gibbs here on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Jason Gibbs. So, Gibbs, I was talking about a lot what I think. What do you think?
Well, I had a follow-up for you. How high is too high to take a wide receiver this year? If we're downgrading this wide receiver class, you know, personally, in your mock yesterday, I can't see a guy like Dotson going that high.
Oh, I definitely can.
No way. How?
Why not?
In what? Do you think he is a top 20 talent?
In this draft?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's the best receiver in the draft.
No one else does.
That's not true.
Who does?
A lot of people. Didn't you hear the thing I said Lock and Four said? That a lot of people think Dotson's going to be the top receiver taken in the draft.
Okay, that's the first one that I've heard outside of you.
No, there's been a lot of mocks that have him going to the Giants at 10, New Orleans at 12, Detroit at 16.
Okay, I'm gonna look up some mocks here, because I just don't recall seeing him in the top 20 picks. And that's my question. Like, how high is two? What if the Browns move back to number 8 because Goff is gone and he was their one guy, and the 49ers move up and they draft 7th? Is 7th too high to take a wide receiver? I think it might be.
What I would say at that point is, I bet what you would do, if you knew you want to take a wide receiver, okay, and that's what you are moving back for, to acquire assets, if, let's say, a DeForest Buckner or a Ramsey, you never know, or a Miles Jack falls to you there, and that's a guy that's really at the top of your board, you can take them. Or what I bet you would have the ability to do is then move from 8 back into the middle of the first round again and get another asset. So basically it's a double trade down, and then you could do it.
So you're talking about trading twice?
You could.
Oh, God. I don't know if the fans can stomach that here.
If you traded down twice and picked up basically turned one player into five and got Josh Doctson.
Are they all in the top 50?
Yeah, if you're moving in the first round, you're probably getting a second or a future second or something like that. Yeah.
I don't need futures. We need guys now.
We do, but if you're trading down, you're turning one guy into multiple guys. You're
correct.
You're doing that.
But I don't know if I necessarily want to start stockpiling picks for next year.
No, but if you can get a couple extra picks this year and extra picks next year, this isn't a one-year process.
No.
You need to
this is correct.
You need to get the best guys. So if you trade down the first time and you're hoping that, you know, some one guy gets there and he doesn't get there to you, you could look down to trade down again. And there's nothing wrong with that, because this draft, especially if you miss out on the elite guys, there's another tier. That's why some people would say no matter what, you stay there. I just think, by the way, if you can get a franchise quarterback, you do it. If not, I don't think there's anybody. I don't think DeForest Buckner, Jalen Ramsey, Joey Bosa, Miles Jack change your franchise to the point that it's not worth turning that one person into two or three players that are all going to be first or second round players.
So here's what I've seen. I've seen Dotson. Bucky Brooks has Dotson going 24 to the Bengals. Jeremiah's got Dotson 23 to the Vikings.
I think, but where do they have Treadwell going? Because that'll tell you more about where they think the first.
Jeremiah's got Treadwell going 12.
Exactly.
To New Orleans.
Right. So assume that people actually, that's where they think that a wide receiver can go. Assume that people can actually prefer Dotson to Treadwell, and then you could just plug him in right there.
Bucky Brooks has Treadwell going 15th to St. Louis.
Right, so a wide receiver could easily go in the top 15. That's what we were saying.
But is he better than Treadwell?
I like him better than Treadwell. I could be wrong. I said that yesterday. That was my surprise, and I unveiled that yesterday on the show. Pick 12, Josh Dotson, wide receiver, TCU. He's my top receiver in this draft. My top three receivers in this draft are top four receivers are Dotson 1, Laquon Treadwell 2, Corey Coleman 3, Leonte Rod Carew 4.
He converted.
Yes.
I do like him. I think he's rising up some draft boards.
Yeah, it's just a matter of what is the true story with his off the field issue.
Correct.
I
guess that's my whole thing is, what are you willing to value wide receivers at in a year that we're saying the wide receiver class isn't really that good?
No, some people are saying that. Other people actually think it is good. But what they're saying is it's not like 2014, okay? But it is a wide receiver class where youth can get some very good players. And I know a lot of people believe Dotson is the best receiver in this draft. A lot of people believe Treadwell is the best receiver in this draft. Those two are a level above everybody else. Then you get the guys, some people like Coleman. Then you get the Will Fuller people. I think he's more of a one-trick pony, but I think it's a trick that this pony needs, knowing that Hugh Jackson wants to get vertical, and we need somebody that safeties have to roll to. I'm not enamored with him. I'd rather have Leonte Carew. I just don't think that you need to pull the trigger on him at 32.
Okay, we talk weapons, but we also talk about maybe the second biggest need on this team outside of quarterback being pass rusher.
It is.
So
those are the only two positions that I like at 32. I still ultimately think we're going to trade back at 32.
Yeah, you have been on board with that since day one.
I think it's a pick, 24 hours to think about it. It's a hot commodity pick that I think people are going to want. Like, what if let's say a Carson Wentz guy free falls. This is Gribble brought this up in one of our mock draft texts. Let's say Carson Wentz does free fall. And let's say he doesn't even get drafted on day one, like a la Geno Smith. Okay? I don't think it's going to happen. And I don't want people to say I don't think it's going to happen. But let's say he's there at 32. Do the Browns take him at 32? And my sense of it is, and this is what I said, is that becomes a hugely tradable commodity at that point. Number one. Number two, if the Browns didn't think he was worth taking at 2, he's not worth taking at 32 to me.
I disagree on that.
I think a franchise quarterback is either a franchise quarterback and he can't be overdrafted, and if he's not, he can't be a good value.
Okay, but isn't a second-round pick on a guy that got a first-round grade good value?
If he got a first-round grade and truly was viewed as a franchise quarterback, we wouldn't have passed on him at 2.
Okay, so then you look at him. If we don't take a quarterback in the first round, are we just saying, hey, we're going to be developing a guy anyways?
I don't know. I mean, I certainly think that's possible.
I mean, that, I guess that's my question. I mean, what, you know, if Wentz doesn't go, or what if Paxton Lynch is on the board?
Both of them are on the board?
Yep.
It just depends on, to me, the evaluations. It just all depends on the evaluations. But that's nothing that I'm, like, running out there to do. Do you know what I mean? That's not anything that I feel a tremendous, that I personally feel, if I thought that he was that good and I liked him that much, I'm drafting him. I'm drafting him.
I mean, that's, I guess, but if you truly, if you're not in love with him at two, I think it's possible for them to not be in love with a guy at number two, but to be totally in love with him at 32.
See, I think at a quarterback, you either believe in him or you don't. So if you, for a guy that's at that level, so if you believed in Carson Wentz, you're drafting him. Let's say Goff's off the board and Wentz is there at two. If the Browns pass on taking Wentz at two, I don't see them taking him at 32.
Pumpkinhead tweets at the show. One trade down is bad. Two trade downs is unacceptable. We need playmakers. The further you go down, the worse. I tend to agree with him. If you want to trade down once, that's fine. But don't make it like the night that the whole Phil Taylor or Alex Mack where you just kept trading back.
I agree we need playmakers. 100%. We need playmakers. Period. Especially if we're investing in this quarterback position. We need weapons for that quarterback. I still think that if you all of a sudden traded back and let's say you ended up with 3 seconds and 2 firsts or whatever, you know, whatever it is, that's not a bad scenario. You just got to make good on those picks. And this is a draft where people are saying you want to have a lot of seconds and early thirds. That's the sweet spot of this draft. So we'll see. I just want a back. Quarterback or trade back. Because I don't think that one of those, if it's possible, if it's not possible and the deal's not good enough, then absolutely you stay there and you take the best player on the board.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. All right, let's get a call in here since I'm ranting all the time. By the way, I keep saying Rams are in St. Louis. I'm sorry. I'm from California. Los Angeles Rams. By the way, if there's a team that should be in Los Angeles, it's the Raiders. That's how I grew up. LA Raiders.
Amen.
NWO. NWA, I'm sorry. Let's go. That's what it's about. L.A. Rams. The L.A. Rams, when I think of the L.A. Rams, I think of a quarterback named Vince Ferragamo who threw sidearm.
Yes.
I think of Chris Everett.
Chrissy Everett?
Yeah. Don't tell me I can't call. Call me Chris one more time.
Exactly.
Okay, Chris. All right, let's go to the phones, 216-578-0850, and let's get Jeff in Cleveland. Jeff.
I was listening to what you guys were saying. My problem with the number two pick is neither quarterback, I think, is worth the number two pick if you're not playing. I think if you're a franchise quarterback, you play from day one.
I don't think you need to. I mean, is Aaron Rodgers a franchise quarterback?
He had a Hall of Famer in front of him. That's a different time. That was over 10 years ago. I'm talking about right now when you draft quarterback, if you don't feel he's able to play from day one, then in my opinion, he's not a franchise. I even heard the North Dakota State coach say that Wentz would need a year. If you need a year, then you're not a franchise quarterback, in my opinion. I mean, why are we?
I think Wentz needs a year because going from his level to this level is a massive jump in terms of just how quickly the game is played. He's going to need to adjust to that. I think Jared Goff could play right away. By the way, those quarterbacks that everybody says are franchise quarterbacks from the 2014 draft, Derek Carr was not supposed to start the season. Matt Schaub was supposed to start the season. Matt Schaub was so bad that Derek Carr started the season. In Jacksonville, Blake Bortles didn't start the season. Chad Henne did. And in Minnesota, Matt Cassel started the season, not Teddy Bridgewater. Chad Henne, they had to go to Blake Bortles. So it's not a matter of can you. It's Jared Goff is 21 years old. Jared Goff, let him sit there. If he gets an opportunity, you got RG3. You want to see what RG3 does. And if Jared Goff will most likely get an opportunity to play, if history is any indicator with the Cleveland Browns, and then you go ahead and you give him a shot. I don't think, could he play right away? Yes. Is that necessarily best for his development? No. So I don't think that because you're drafting a quarterback and not necessarily going to play him right away, Blake Bortles was picked third overall. They had no intention of playing him right away. They're going to play Chad Henne right away. So I don't think that's a reflection of it whatsoever. If you think a guy's a franchise quarterback, you get him, and you bring him along the way that you believe is the best way to bring him along. And I'm going to trust Hugh Jackson, and I'm going to trust Pep Hamilton and Al Saunders and their vast, vast experience in the National Football League and with quarterbacks and with offenses to decide what's best for these quarterbacks and when Jared Goff needs to play. And by the way, you want Jared Goff to be successful, get him weapons. You want RG3 to be successful, get him weapons. Needs weapons. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of CBD.
There ain't no secrets anymore. My name's been hanging on the hook outside your door. Just an old eyesore.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Jason Gibbs alongside me today. Gibbs, I'm getting fired up today on this. What day is this? Wednesday?
Good day. It's been good banter. It's been good dialogue so far.
Yeah. Let's go. Just bring me knucklehead opinions and I'll set you straight. That's all I need. Dave and Berea, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man. How are you?
Look, I'm pretty good. Look, I mean, I'm always going to trade down if I'm up there at the high. But, I mean, you have to have a partner. That's the thing. Even if I was Tennessee, you're number one. There's no quarterback. You know, there's no Elway luck. I always trade down. As long as you're not going out of maybe the top 10 and you're getting a pick next year, first-round pick, and you're just swapping picks. I do it every time. I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. If there's not that one quarterback, you know, or transcendent player, you always want to trade back. I mean, if you look at it, you're right. You got to pick the right guys. Actually, the Farmer trade with Buffalo, they fleeced them. They just picked the wrong guys.
Correct. I mean,
went,
that
what,
was a that
nine,
was absolutely
9-4, and they fleeced them, and they just didn't pick the right guys. So, you know, that was the problem there. But as far as your argument of playmakers, well, you could say playmakers, or you could say just get that quarterback. Because that quarterback can make those other guys seem like playmakers. You know, Aaron Rodgers, Roethlisberger, Brady. I mean, you could say what you want about those other guys. They're not as good without that quarterback. So unless you have a coach who's really good, like I'll just say Andy Reid, okay? Kansas City, I would say Alex Smith. He's like a good quarterback. But they're a good team because he built the team, he coaches well, and they have playmakers, okay? Or the good, great quarterback. You can't tell me those guys, Cobb, the guys in Green Bay, they aren't as good without Rodgers.
That's right? Probably true. I think Randall Cobb, Jordan Nelson are both excellent receivers. Both were picked in the second round, as was Devontae Adams, as was Eddie Lacy. So they got him a supporting cast. Tom Brady, Belichick was just ahead of the world. So he knew that if I can get two athletic tight ends, we can change the way the game's played. And they drafted Gronk and Aaron Hernandez in the same year and started to do that from the inside out. And then they've got their guy, Julian Edelman, who's become flourished in that system. Julian Edelman in a different area, not as good a performer. But in that area, certainly, certainly a great performer. You look at what they've done now, Gronk, now they signed Martellus Bennett. So, yes, great quarterbacks enhance the playmakers around them, but they're not just trying to trot out their, you know, guys that aren't playmakers or were not at one point. Drew Brees had Jimmy Graham. They got Reggie Bush. They got Darren Sproles. They had Marcus Colston. You know, they trotted in a bunch of guys on the outside that they liked. And the proof positive about how Drew Brees can make some is Willie Snead. Willie Snead in Cleveland would not have been what Willie Snead was in New Orleans. But I said when I was reviewing Willie Snead on this team, I said Willie Snead needs to play in a system where his precision is appreciated out of the slot, and he needs to play in New England, New Orleans, or Green Bay, and he'll be very effective. And that's turned out to be true, just not here in Cleveland. But this is a team that needs to get playmakers. Yes, you can make them better, but until you have somebody, and I would argue that every single one of those teams do, with these great quarterbacks, have somebody that is a matchup nightmare. New Orleans, Jimmy Graham was that guy. Colston out of the seam. Then they had the backs you had to worry about with a lot of speed out of the backfield. They had the burners on the outside to take the top off the defense. Devery Henderson, Bob Meacham for a little while. When you look at, you know, whether it was Antonio Gates in his prime, Gronk now for Tom Brady. They had those guys that teams had to game plan for. The Browns don't have those guys. You need to at least have one of them. And then you can build your offense around that person and build what the defense has to do to react to you around that person. I think that's why it's important. John in Cuyahoga Falls.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Hey, I got a sleeper of the draft here. We could get him from the third to the fifth round, and I don't know why he's being ignored or put to the side. As a wide receiver, 6'4", 220, did a 4.5, 6.40. Led the nation in receiving yards, the Kiaris Garrett from Tulsa. What's your guys' take on this?
So, what I can't say that I'm an expert on him yet, but I know who you're talking about. I've seen his name. He's got a third or fourth round grade, according to a lot of people. Dane Brugler says that as well. 6'3", 220, out of Tulsa. He is a redshirt senior, so he's a little bit older. He's a guy who was a product of that system down there that they run in Tulsa to some degree. They were certainly throw the ball a lot. 4.5, as you talked about, 4.40. This guy's pretty good. 122 yards a game over 13 games. The weaknesses, this is what people say. Classic long strider, has to build up to his top speed so he doesn't get there quickly. A lot of injuries, ran a very limited route tree, operated out of that spread offense, and lined up behind another receiver to get a free release. Not a guy who has had success with press coverage. With a combination of height, strong hands, and speed, there will be moments in which he looks like a top player. He's got talent to warrant early round consideration. Very raw. May need a strong supporting staff and patience to maximize his potential. That's from Dane Brugler.
So here's my problem with all the wideouts. There are positives, but there are just as many drawbacks for some of these guys. For most of these guys, you read like Fuller got breakaway speed. Sometimes he's going to catch the ball. Sometimes he's not going to catch the ball. I just feel. And
a very smart person told me that the two most important things to be a wide receiver, number one, catching the football.
Yes.
Number two, getting separation.
Then where does Fuller fall? Are you going to take him late first round, or are you going to take him at pick 32 if he can't do one of the two things?
I like him because of what he can do to a defense. I think he's kind of kind of Ted Ginn. That's kind of the skill set that he brings to the table. Now, Ted Ginn, for his returning more than his wide receiving, was taken, what, ninth overall? So relative to that's a good value. Ted Ginn's gone on to have a successful career. But I don't think he's not the total package. If the guys were the total package, they're getting drafted like Amari Cooper and Sammy Watkins. Now, the scouting community, or at least the NFL scouting community, didn't see the total package in Allen Robinson. So he ended up being a very good value. But Mike Evans went early. Brandon Cooks. You got all these guys. There were a lot of good receivers in that. Odell Beckham. That guy is not in this draft. If you were going in that draft, Josh Doctson would have been taken probably in the 20s around the Brandon Cooks range. Or Treadwell. They're in the late first, early second round, Marquise Lee range. So it just was a draft that was unbelievably rich on talent. That's why there are these questions, because these guys aren't those guys. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get some more of your phone calls. We wrap up hour number one at 2 o'clock. Very excited about this for all the Carson Wentz people. Certainly very excited to get an opportunity to talk with his head coach from college, Chris Kleiman. He joins us at 2 o'clock to talk about Carson Wentz.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Don't you dare be sour. It is a new day here on Cleveland Browns Daily.
Yes,
go back to the phone lines, 216-578-0850, and we'll get things started off here right now with, I believe we got Tommy here. Got to get this voiceover off. I was clicking it. We got Tommy Gunn in Pennsylvania. Tommy, welcome.
Big Nate, what's up? It's Tommy Gunn from Pennsylvania. How are you, fellas?
Good, man. How are you doing?
Hey, good. Hey, like you guys, I've been running this quarterback scenario through my head 1,000 times, man. But here's the deal. It's like, if we take a quarterback, whether it's Goff or Wentz at 2, or we take one at 32, or we take one in the third round, am I right? No matter what, this quarterback is probably going to sit, and RG3 is most likely going to start. It's weird. I feel weird about this because if we're going to start RG3 and we're going to have a developmental quarterback, no matter where we pick them, why not go get playmakers at 2, 32, and maybe try to get somebody in the fourth round and build a team, or get somebody at two and start them from day one and then build around that player. I mean, it's nice having RG3 as a backup or a starter, but it's just like, I don't know where we're going with commitment here. Do you know what I mean? Like, the Raiders started Carr right off the bat. Why not, you know, and Jacksonville did the same thing. Why can't we do that? I mean, because I think picking somebody at two and sitting them for 6, 8, 10 games a whole season is just a waste. You know, we did it with Cam Irving. We sat him on the bench and wasted him. Manziel, we had him on the bench. We wasted that. We didn't start him from day one. Why not get players that we could just start right off the bat and roll with it, or just roll with RG3, develop somebody at number two, maybe keep McCown as a third string to kind of, you know, as a extra security blanket, and just go get the talent and build around one guy or the other.
I think we're trying to figure out who that guy is. And I have no, again, I have no problem. A quarterback is the one position I have no problem sitting. If you're going to draft an offensive lineman in the first round, I want to see him play. If you're going to draft a position player in the first round, I want to see them play right away. And unfortunately for the Browns, that really hasn't happened with any of the guys that they've drafted recently. You know, Mingo was not an every down, a big contributor from day one. Gilbert certainly has not been. You know, Shelton was the only one that came in and played like he was supposed to, I think, for where he was picked. I do want to see that as well. I just think if it's not a franchise quarterback, get more assets. That's what I think. Chris in Cleveland.
Hello.
What's up, Chris?
Yeah, how you doing? Hello?
Hello. How are you?
Yeah, how you doing? I wanted to talk about, earlier you were talking about the quarterback and you and the other guy, I forgot his name, but
Gibbs.
He was saying, if Carson West was there, you were saying if Carson West had fell down to 32, and he was saying you were drafting at 32, you were saying you wouldn't, because if you didn't think he was a franchise quarterback, he wouldn't be of value at 32. I kind of was having a hard time understanding that, because if you go by that logic, the 49ers would have never picked Joe Montana, because because they didn't feel like he was a franchise player in the first round. They drafted him in the third round, and same thing for Russell Wilson and Tom Brady. I mean, if you go by that logic, it would never be a quarterback drafted outside of the first round. I mean, I'm kind of like having a hard time understanding. Just because a guy, you know, you don't draft him in the first round, don't mean you don't think he could be a franchise quarterback. You might just feel like it's a better player, another position at that particular position. I mean, franchise quarterbacks aren't just drafted in the first round.
I agree with that. I understand that completely. And, you know, you can look at to the exceptions to the rule. The majority of franchise quarterbacks are drafted in the first round. My issue with that is, for a team that's doing the evaluation process like the Cleveland Browns are doing, for a team that is quarterback needy, they are looking at that so hard. You remember when Russell Wilson was drafted in the third round, the Seattle Seahawks had just paid big money to sign Matt Flynn to be their quarterback, and they were going to bring him along, speaking of Russell Wilson, as a developmental guy. He happened to come in, kick butt, and kick Matt Flynn right on out of there. So it's a different mindset. If you're thinking that you're looking for a franchise quarterback, you've evaluated, you have a pretty good idea of what you think of Carson Wentz and his capabilities to do that. If you think that he's not a franchise quarterback, but you think that he is a project worth exploring at the right price, that changes the narrative. If you don't believe that he has the talent, then there's no reason to even take that plunge. So I understand what you're saying. I think given the way that the Browns are looking at the world right now, their goal is to find that franchise quarterback. And so I think that if they don't think he's that guy, they probably feel like they could find another project in the middle rounds as opposed to right there at 32.
Well, I think with Russell Wilson, he just won a job in training camp. I think what happened, you got to put these guys on the field. I don't think that just because you draft a guy in a certain spot that you designate the guy to be a particular type of player. I think that you take guys – you just take the best players, you know, where you have them at on the board in the draft, and then you see what happened on the field. What happened with Russell Wilson, he was projected to be the backup, but he just won the job.
Correct. That's exactly right. But that's why you're more inclined in that scenario to take a quarterback in the third round. And look, by the way, nobody, and I don't care what the Seattle Seahawks say, nobody was right about Russell Wilson, because every team in the NFL passed on him at least twice. So, it's just... I want them to throw assets at that position. I want them to do it in a smart way. If they think there's a franchise quarterback, though, if they thought Wentz was a franchise quarterback, he should come off the board at two. if Goff was off the board, or whoever they think is the top quarterback on their board. If he's available at two, or whoever they think is franchise quarterback, if either of those guys they consider, or both, to be franchise quarterbacks and one or more is available at two, you take them. That's my point. That's what I'm saying. And by the way, if Carson Wentz free falls all the way to 32, there's probably a reason that none of us are privy to that he fell to 32. I don't think it's going to happen also. I'll just say that as well. All right, when we come back, we'll talk to about a guy who knows Carson Wentz better than just about anybody. That is his college coach, Chris Kleiman, coming up from North Dakota State University. He is our guest next here on CBD.